Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 286 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. There we go, people. Boom, indeed. We've got a great show planned for you this week. If you are an HBO watcher, you, of course, are aware of the new series, Vinyl, which premiered last night, February 14th, on HBO. And it's pretty damn good, folks. We've got, Jack Quaid, one of the stars of the show. He plays the character Carl. And he's going to be joining us here shortly. Son of Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid. We get into that a little bit. About how his parents have kind of shown him the path to acting, the acting bug. Also going to talk about the new series, Vinyl, which of course I just said premiered last night. Do I need to say that again? Probably not. What are you, a bunch of idiots? No, not at all. Not at all. I should take that part out. We had a great conversation with Jack. This happened a couple weeks ago when they were here. HBO was here in Seattle doing a premiere for the series for as like a big press event. It was a lot of fun, man. We had the wonderful, wonderful Morgan Schuler of Morgan Schuler Photography taking some photos and just had a great time talking to Jack. So we'll get into that here in a little bit. A couple of things to get out of the way before we get started with this here episode 286. Some people may be new to the show since we are going to be up on the iTunes front page this week with this episode with Mr. Quaid. We want to remind everybody that you can go and check out the full archives, all 286 episodes for free. If you want to go to our website at air-raid.net, or you can find it on spreaker.com at the Adore Network, or on iTunes. But not all of the episodes are on iTunes. We've got a huge, huge backlog here, people. We've had conversations with the likes of Bob Saget, Mike McCready from Pearl Jam, Chris Walla, formerly of Death Cab for Cutie. How about Borns or Blackalicious, Jurassic 5? Jamie Kennedy, Andrew W.K., Aisha Tyler, Mike Birbiglia, Pete Holmes, Paul Scheer, Jason Manzoukas. Who else? God, the list is long, folks. The Cave Singers, good friend Ian Brennan, who was on last week, Judah Friedlander, one of my personal favorites, Shabazz Palaces, also, formerly Diggable Planets. Right? Yeah, man. A lot of good stuff, okay? Oh, and of course, Brett Morgan, who also, documentary maker. Is that a documentarian? who made the most recent Kurt Cobain documentary called Montage of Heck. That was on HBO as well. That was a good one too, man. And all sorts of great indie musicians like Chastity Belt, Soft Sleep, Lost Lander, Elise Ambrosio, Slow Bird, Pinback, The Dead Milkmen. I don't know if you could call it. Yeah, they're still indie, right? Ivan and Alyosha. All there for your listening pleasure at air-raid.net. Just click on the Archives tab, and you can listen to all 286 of them right? If you've got the time. Yeah, there you go. We got a big, we got to give big thanks to the people at HBO that set this thing up. Chelsea Orman and Suzanne Twing. Big thanks to them for getting the ball rolling on this interview. Also to Morgan Schuler of Morgan Schuler Photography for being there and taking photos. And then, of course, Steve Wilson over at iTunes, who set up the whole iTunes feature thing this week. So big thanks to all you folks. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for tuning in and checking out this here podcast. And if you're back listening to yet another episode, then thank you for returning. Oh, man. Okay. Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day was yesterday. You know, I spent the morning. I'm not a big Valentine's Day person. My family is not big on Valentine's Day. My wife is not. My girls, my two small girls, Tegan, you know, she's almost two. She doesn't even know what air is. So, you know, she's not big on it. But my 4.5-year-old daughter, about to be 5, Tatum, she is way into the Valentine's Day. And I think, you know, if I'm remembering correctly, I was probably way into the Valentine's Day as well when I was, you know, 5 years old. Because you get candy, right? It's like stuff for free. You're going to be into any type of holiday when you get something for free, right? Whether it be Christmas or Valentine's Day. Those are the two that are kind of coming to mind right now. What else? What other holidays are there that kids just get shit for free? I can't. Labor Day? No, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen on Labor Day. Yeah, so I woke up early. You know, I thought I'm going to bite the bullet here. I'm going to do something special. Had a bunch of roses, and I cooked a special breakfast for my daughters and for my wife. And so I did this little, like, I made pancakes, and I made them in the shape of, like, hearts. But one thing that I tried to do this time that I hadn't tried before is I tried to color the batter. I tried to color the batter red, so it'd be a big red heart, right? Well, I mixed up the colors wrong. It's been a while since I've mixed colors or, like, mixed crayons together or something to make a different color. And I forgot that it's yellow and blue that make red, not yellow and green. I don't know why I thought that. But so we had green hearts. Green hearts for breakfast this morning, but you know they had a red rose along with their dish, so it all worked out right. I was a little embarrassed. My wife thought it was very funny, and had the gall to ask me if it was St. Patty's Day, but yeah, some of the hearts were a little bit misshapen too, so they probably did look like clovers, like four leaf clovers. Oh man, it was a sad scene this morning here at the Roden household. Oh, man. Okay, well, let's do this, shall we? Let's get into it. We're going to be featuring music today by none other than Grace Love and the True Loves, a local Seattle band that I am way into right now. We do not have permission to play any of the music from the show Vinyl or any of the huge, huge bands that were huge back in the 1970s, because, of course, Vinyl takes place back in the 1970s. So we're not going to do that. I don't want to get in trouble. But we do have permission to play music from Grace Love and the True Loves. Grace Love was on the show a little bit ago, and it's just, oh my God, I was the MC at this music festival just a couple weeks ago, Timber Winter Music Festival, and they absolutely killed it. They had everybody, 3,000 people in this venue, just jumping up and down in love with the sounds that they were making, and it was fantastic. So we're going to play a little bit of Grace Love. All right. This one's called Times Like These, and we will be back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Jack Quaid of the new HBO series Vinyl. Stay with us. Be back in a moment. But what's your mind made of? I made the choice to silence my voice. Thought you loved me for me, but you don't love anything.
unwanted, her heart cries. The kisses were such sweet love. I made the choice to silence my voice, 'cause I thought you loved me.
With a band more, they're like, we thought it was good. We thought it was a good...
Right.
Yeah, it's just a nonsense question.
Have you ever played music before?
I do play music. Yeah. Not well. I'm only just okay on the guitar. I used to have a comedy band in college.
Of course you did.
Yeah, oh yeah. You know how you do it. We were called Platidactyl, and all of our songs kind of made fun of hipsters. And
so it wasn't.
We didn't take off.
It wasn't all like dinosaur based.
No, there were some dinosaur based lyrics. I'll say that we leaned on that a little bit. It was a motif, if anything.
Okay.
But no, that was a that's my musical career thus far.
Yeah. So you played guitar.
I play guitar. Yeah.
You still play.
I still play. I noodle around with. Yeah. Is that what they call it? Where you're just kind of like,
sure.
And like doesn't mean anything.
Just do a bunch of like solo stuff by yourself.
Yeah, I know the riff from Superstitious, and I just kind of play within that, like just those notes. I think that's mostly what I do when I'm alone. With
little Stevie Wonder.
Little Stevie Wonder. Yeah.
Is that your favorite? Like,
is he my favorite?
Yeah.
Musician.
Artist.
He's definitely one of them. It's like one of those questions of like, what's your favorite movie? Like, it's very hard for me to answer, but I love Stevie Wonder. He really got me into music as a kid. I mean, with me and music, it was weird. For a while, I wasn't into music. Think about that. I wasn't into music. And then, because I don't know, around the time it was like boy bands, stuff like that, which I wasn't really into.
Yeah.
All my friends were, and I was like really upset that like I wasn't or whatever. I was like, why can't I get into Backstreet Boys or anything? But then, and this is
which
true.
Now you look back on, and you're like, you know what? I was a cool kid.
I was the coolest kid in school. No, I mean, it was, and then all of a sudden, and this is true. The movie School of Rock came out, and I'm like old to just discover music. Then I was like 13 or something because that movie just had all it's like it had the Ramones in it, it had the Doors in it,
right?
It had AC/DC in it, and right after that, I started really like. Like, what's this band? And what's this album? And the first album I ever bought on my own was AC/DC Back in Black.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the first album?
That was the first album I ever bought. It was a CD. It wasn't like a cool vinyl thing, but, you know, it was the first
one. That's impressive, though. That's impressive. Because usually when you talk to people about like their first album, it's kind of an embarrassing moment in their life.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, "Oh right. Man, it was Aaron Carter Aaron's party." I did go to an Aaron Carter concert, okay? One time. So I'm not that cool. But hope you're doing well, Aaron. I guess it's impressive. I hope so. I don't know.
I'm impressed by it.
Good.
That's good. Cool. I think my first album.
What was yours? Yeah.
Well, not the one that I bought, but the first album that I ever wanted and was bought for me because I didn't have my own money was a New Kids on the Block album.
There you go. Yeah. Christmas album?
Christmas album.
So did they do any original songs or was it all covers?
I want to say it was probably all covers.
Yeah.
Because there was like a Mama's Kissing Santa Claus song. You know, there was probably a Jingle Bells on there. I still remember the cover art of the album.
What was it?
It was all the New Kids.
All of them?
Yeah.
On the block?
On a sled.
Oh.
All the kids from the block on a sled.
From the block, of course.
Yeah, in the snow.
Oh
I think
God.
That was it.
So they all, how many kids on the block? In the sled.
I want to say there was probably maybe five.
So that's a big sled.
Yeah, it's a big block.
That's a big block.
Yeah.
It's a big block, big sled. Definitely.
Right.
Yeah, no, the... oh, man, sorry. I lost my train of thought there for a second.
Let me do this. Jack Quaid joining me here on the show.
Hey.
How's it going?
I'm doing good, man.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
You like that little banter sesh that we have before
Solid
I
banter
actually bring
sesh.
You... You know, introduce you properly.
I do like it. I like to think that like people don't read the title of like the podcast thing,
right?
And like
right.
they're just like, "Who is this?"
Yeah, it totally doesn't make any sense.
They get like really mad until you're like, "It's Jack Quaid," and they're like, "Oh, well, I still don't know who he is." So perfect, exactly. No, but thank you for having me on. This is awesome.
Yeah, totally. This is a lot of fun, man. I'm having a good time already.
Oh hell yeah!
And we should say that you are starring in the new HBO series Vinyl.
Yes,
which came out yesterday. You see that? This is kind of
it's
a time
this is future?
Jump. Yes.
This is the future right now?
This is going to go up in the
cool,
future.
Cool. I was like, did it? Like, yesterday? As of this recording?
Am I forgetting
I
something?
Should be tweeting things, maybe. I don't know. I'm part of that amazing show. It was just an incredible thing to work on, really.
And well, how did it actually come about?
Well, I mean, much like with anything else, when you're an actor, it's like, so I got an audition, and I didn't really know, I knew vaguely what it was for, they were kind of keeping it under wraps, but I was with this casting director, Ellen Lewis. I just went in, did my thing, it was fun, easy, and then a couple of weeks went by, I was like, maybe, I don't know, that probably didn't happen for me, but that's fine, I'll move on, and then...
Are you the type of person that will dwell on something like that?
I'll dwell a little. I'll dwell like a little. But then like I think that the rule of thumb for me is like 2 weeks go by. That's, you know, it's fine.
Yeah,
like all my
yeah.
dwelling has kind of like gone down. And I've gotten better at that, I got to say. Because it used to be like as soon as I'm at the door, what happened? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But no, it's definitely gone down. But 2 weeks later, which I thought was the cutoff point, I got a call from my reps and they're like, well, you have a callback. I'm like, okay, all right, great, cool.
Yeah.
With Martin Scorsese and Terrence Winter at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And they
so
were
did you have an anxiety attack?
Yeah,
or
I
what?
Think I exploded, imploded more so.
Sure.
Just a whole nervous spasm occurred. But no, it was crazy. So I was there because Scorsese and Terrence Winter were in town for The Wolf of Wall Street. They were like promoting it because it was in the Oscar race.
Oh, so this took place a couple years ago.
This took place a couple years ago, yeah. It's taken a while for Vinyl to get out there. But I mean, you'll see. I feel like we took our time and that really helped the show.
Well, it seems like, I mean, this is definitely kind of the golden era of television, too. Like, I would lump, like, you know, the HBO series in there as well.
Definitely, no.
Because it's
amazing,
you know,
shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of great stuff coming out.
Yeah.
And they're putting a lot of money into, like, you know, period pieces and stuff like that. Your costumes,
costumes
sets and everything.
Those
like that.
Were insane on this thing.
Was it kind of cool to like?
It was awesome. It
dress
was
up like you were in the what is it? Like 70s?
It's 70. It's 73. So okay. It was insane because I feel like those clothes they fit me better than clothes nowadays. Like by far. Like I'm a tall.
You're gonna be
man.
That guy.
I'm gonna be that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm a tall, skinny, lanky. Lanky dude, and
quit bragging.
Look, Oh, no, I'm so sorry. No, they just fit me super well. And it was like, I wish I could have at least, I wish I could just dress like this every day, though.
Jack, you can.
I guess I could.
You can.
And a very specific label would be put on me, I think,
it's coming back. No,
it's coming back.
So I think you could, I think you pull it off.
Well, thanks, man.
Especially after
that.
Everybody gets used to you in that character.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, then
and
it's
you
like,
just be that
well,
character.
Well, that's like, why are you wearing your character's clothes everywhere? Like, that just seems like I'm like, everyone pay attention to me. Jack or Clark. That's my character's name. But yeah, no, the clothes were amazing.
Yeah.
Got to the point where we thought, like, the cast would think that, like, the PAs and the crew looked out of place because most people on set were in 70s attire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even, you know, like, the background actors, everybody. So that was awesome. That was a trip.
So wait, like, you're doing your thing on set. You guys are acting a scene out and stuff. And, mm-hmm. and then you have all these plainclothes current people,
future people.
On the
people.
Other side of the camera.
Yeah.
And that kind of looks weird.
Exactly. It just seems
I've never thought
place.
About that before. But
I know it's weird because like most of the objects in the room, not even just people, like you know, like the set dressing, everything like that.
Well, right.
Took
but
you
you're
back
so.
To the era.
I mean, you're surrounded by like 70s era cars.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by all that stuff.
No, that was I geeked out so much about those things. There was even a scene that we did. It was outside, and there's a lot of like 70s cars just like chilling right there by the sidewalk to make it to make it look period.
Yeah.
And I wandered a little bit away from set, maybe to like go to my trailer or something, and I saw another 70s looking car, and I'm like, oh man, like, it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. I had other cast members come, and we all got pictures in front of it, and then like right afterwards, some guy came out and was like, hey, that's my car, man. Like it wasn't part of our set, I just assumed
right.
It was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just some muscle car.
Exactly. Just some muscle car. Some really cool dude had you know?
Right.
On the opposite end, I was just like, I wasn't working one day. I was just like having lunch with my friend. And then all of a sudden, all these dudes walk by in like 70s attire. And I'm like, either some crazy shit is going down. Can I swear on this?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Either some crazy shit is going down in New York right now. Or, and then I walked like a block down and like my show was shooting. I didn't even know. I was like, oh, hi, everyone. I'm not supposed to be working today, but may I watch?
Right, right.
Yeah. It was cool. Nice. It was cool. Just stumbling upon your own set was awesome.
Yeah. So, speaking of like time jumping, Morgan here, who's taking pictures of the session right now,
the
lovely Morgan Schuler, she found a photo online of a skateboarding Clint Eastwood, 1964 in Rome, and right next to Clint Eastwood is a guy on his scooter that just looks super annoyed, and the guy looks exactly like me, but maybe like 5 or 6 years older. So
no.
I'm like, hey, guys, time travel is going to be invented in 6 years.
And I'm going to go.
Yeah, and I'm going to go and be super fucking annoyed at Clint Eastwood, who's riding a skateboard. I will show you the
photo. I mean, I would be annoyed at skateboarding Clint Eastwood.
Right. Well, it looked like he just didn't know how to skateboard. And
he was in
the scooter lane. So I mean,
I would love like a Meet the Deedles spinoff starring Clint Eastwood. I think Hollywood needs that right now.
Right. Yeah.
I'll jump that ramp. Just whatever.
So how did let's get back to this. How did meeting Martin Scorsese go?
I've never been more nervous for anything in my life. I remember I pulled up to the it was just like in there are these little like villa rooms in that hotel that are just kind of like right there off the street. Like they're really nice, but there's no like you got to go through the lobby to get to them. So I just rolled up to like this room and just walked through a lawn, and then all of a sudden I was just in this room with Scorsese and Terrence Winter.
Right.
I was so nervous, but both of them immediately put me at ease because they're both just really genuinely nice guys. And I think that's what I've learned is like such a secret to being one of the greats in this business is just like you need to not be a dick. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a very simple rule that so many people don't follow, but
I would think that you get a lot more respect in that business being a nice person.
Exactly.
Or
well,
being
like,
a regular person.
And it just
than
encourages
being
great
a
work out of people.
Sure.
Yeah. Or just a regular person. Yeah. Just don't be a jerk. Really.
Right.
That's the whole deal. And they're both very nice, very funny. They let me do a little bit of like improvising and stuff like that. And it was just really fun. Like all my nerves went away and it just became really fun. And that's what it's been. Like when we shot every scene, I was just having fun. It brought me back to that time when I first wanted to become an actor. You know, it's playful. It's you like to discover things. He Scorsese works with you, you kind of come to an agreement on the character rather than him being like, this is who he is. I won't accept anything else.
Right, right.
And it's cool. It's so fun. It was such a blast. And now, I'm a huge fan of his, so it was amazing.
How could you not be?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Martin Scorsese is one of the producers, executive producers of the show, right? And then the other one is Mick Jagger.
Yeah. So we had a lot of heavyweights on set. It was cool.
Dude, did you get to meet Mick Jagger?
I did get to meet Mick Jagger. He's also the nicest dude too. Yeah, I remember speaking of like the set dressing and everything, like when we first all arrived in what became our there's like an office in the show. And we all finally got there on the first day, and we're like taking all this in. It looks amazing. And then he walks in, and it's just me and him in a room for a second. And I just like got to watch him take in all this stuff because he's like just been around it. And it was so cool.
It must have taken him back a little bit.
Yeah, taken him back. And he was just in awe. Also, this is like at least half his idea, this show. Like it's a thing that he pitched to Scorsese. Way back in the day, they wanted to make it a movie, and then Terrence Winter came along. I was like, why don't we make this a show?
Yeah.
And went through all these different versions, and then now we have vinyl.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that part.
It was going to be like a movie at first. It was actually going to be a movie that took place in like the modern music industry. It was like, and I think the idea when they were thinking about it, it was around like the early 2000s, and then the music bubble kind of burst, and then it became all about the digital space. So they're like, all right, we'll go back to the 70s, go back to where this crazy cultural shift in American music.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's insane. So you had a great time shooting it, I take
oh my god, no, the best possible time. And we were in New York. We shot the pilot 2 summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
Waited to see if we were picked up, and then shot the remaining 9 episodes last summer. And it was just everyone was so great, the nicest possible people, just genuine funny people that I loved working with. It was amazing.
Cool, man.
Yeah, six months in New York. I couldn't complain.
Yeah. So is it weird like coming back to something like that? Like your job's done, right? Like 6 months ago, your job's done. You guys wrap on a full series, and then all of a sudden, year later, or half a year later. Premiere, and now you have to talk about it.
Well, that's weird. Yeah, I don't get.
Is it strange to have to like kind of revisit that? Or I mean, it's got to be fun for like the first like 10 interviews that you do about it.
Sure. I mean, it never get. I do genuinely. And I'm not just saying this. I do genuinely love talking about it. Like I think when I was doing the show, I realized.
No lie here, though. But
no lies from Jack Quaid on this. Because I think when I was doing the show, I like slowly realized like, oh, if I wasn't on the show, I would love it still. Like, I'm like realizing that I was on my new favorite TV show.
Yeah. And, have you seen the whole thing yet? Or?
I've seen just the pilot.
Just the pilot.
Yeah, and not really until the New York premiere. So that put me at ease, if anything.
Because
I didn't know what anything looked like despite going into ADR booths and recording a couple lines.
Is that kind of a nerve-wracking experience, too? Like you don't know what the final product's going to be you actually see it.
Nothing will ever be more nerve-wracking than The Hunger Games. Because I did not see, because I wasn't a big part of that movie at all, so they're not going to show me anything. And I remember the first time I ever saw it was at the premiere, and they were it was at the Nokia Live Center in theater in L.A.
Yeah.
So I've never seen more people in my life. I don't know. This theater was huge, and I was like, oh, there's my big dumb face. Haven't checked up on
and that
it.
And that was the first movie that you were ever
first,
in.
Yeah, first movie I ever did. You know, all these people, such a highly anticipated thing, and I had not seen a frame, basically.
Really?
So it was just crazy. I mean, I love the movie, but it was just one of those things where beforehand I was just like, I was doing press then where I was like, yeah, the movie's really great, and I have not seen it. I've not seen it. I have to plug it in just not, I have no idea.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Oh, it was terrifying. The worst was like, it was like this big red carpet. First time I've really ever done a red carpet.
Right.
And I remember I take all these pictures, and then there's like a little radio booth, and you go in there, and it's live. It's being broadcast live. It's like, all right, we're here with one of the stars of The Hunger Games, Jack Quaid. Jack, what do you think about this amazing project, or whatever he asked. And I had realized as soon as I sat down that my fly was open, and had been for every single photo that I had just taken.
Yeah.
Like, I heard thousands, if not millions, of clicks.
Right.
And then, so on the air, on like, you know, I don't know, Kiss FM or something. I said, whoop, my fly's down. Like, and it was not the best. So that was a nerve-wracking
experience. No, that's great, man. It makes you endearing. Like, you're a real person.
Yeah, but it's like
things
radio. I don't
too.
Need to say it at all. Like, I don't need to call it out because you can see it. I just had to say it. I don't know what it was.
By the way, you got a huge boog hanging.
Thanks. Yeah, I got a huge boog hanging,
right.
Podcast audience. Do I, though?
No.
Sometimes I do.
You're fine.
Sometimes people got to check me on them.
Yeah.
I got real nervous there for a second. Boogs?
Yeah,
no.
we do have Morgan taking pictures, so yeah.
I'm just going to tilt my face up to go right into the cave. There you go, Morgan. Fantastic.
There you go. Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's go with our second musical break, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Jack Quaid of the new series Vinyl on HBO. Be back in a moment.
I'm guessing that's why I'm here. Don't say my name, honey. Just play your game so I can leave. Let me be, oh, let me be, 'cause you don't love me no more, so let me be. And like a needle, I'm like a vein, pumping enough for survival. It wasn't living till you came. Let me be, oh, let me be, 'cause you don't love me no more, so let me be.
Okay, so that's kind of like a callback thing, I guess.
I guess so.
Okay.
Thematic.
So I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
How did you get into acting? Because it seems like, I don't know, how old are you?
I'm 23.
You're 23?
Mm.
Hunger Games, your first movie.
I was 19. Yeah, that movie, yeah.
And did you start the Sasquatch?
I am so happy that you know Sasquatch, man.
The YouTube series, like, earlier than that?
We started that now. We really only started that like a couple years ago. Okay. That was nuts. I mean, like, I guess before that, like, the way I got into acting was, I feel like I've always had like the performance bug and stuff like that. Like when I was a kid, I'd do like, you know, whatever, like magic tricks and stuff for like my parents in like the backyard or
sure.
whatever, or like try out jokes, like
right.
terrible, terrible little kid jokes.
Well, we should
them.
Say too, like you don't have to hit on this too much if
oh,
you
no,
don't want
fine.
To, but your father is Dennis
yeah.
Quaid, your mother is Meg Ryan.
Exactly. Like, well, like that was great because
they do that stuff.
No, they do that stuff, and that was so cool because. You know, honestly, it's. I feel like a lot of young actors don't have that with their parents, where they kind of have. You know, I feel like I have the shorthand with them when I talk about acting that mm-hmm. some actors don't get. They're, you know, where they say to their parents, well, I got to do a monologue for this audition. And they're like, what are you, what? Why don't you go be a lawyer or whatever? So I'm glad that, you know, that they encourage me to follow my dreams. And
yeah, and they're not afraid of you saying, I want to be an actor.
Exactly. Like, yeah, but they never like push me away from it or towards it. Sure. I just like, I've always wanted to do it. And like, yeah, it was kind of a cool thing to share like the enthusiasm with them too. Like, isn't this fun? Yeah, it's really fun. You know, and to get to see them do what they love doing and genuinely have fun doing it, like that, if anything, encouraged me that like it was possible that like you could make a living doing acting. So you know, and then from there, I did plays every chance I could. I in school, and that was the best. Just like my first play was Midsummer Night's Dream.
I love that play. That's my favorite Shakespeare
play.
It's the
best play. I was Bottom, man, which is my favorite role in that show. And I got my first laugh on stage, and then that was it. I was like, I'm addicted. Yeah.
And how old were you at that point?
I was, I think I was like 13, but the thing is like I had done little performances in like elementary school, like the stuff you have to do, kind of like it's a school play. Yeah. Everyone's invited and included.
Daryl's going to be the tree.
Daryl's going to be the tree.
Yeah. Poor Daryl,
man.
Never makes it out.
How's he doing?
I don't know. Meth.
I'll call him. Probably meth. Probably meth. But no. And then I decided, like, in middle school, there was a thing of, like, you can sign up for it and audition for it. And I'm like, I'm going to try it. You stay after school. Not that it was, like, hardcore or anything. But it was fun. I had so much fun. And then, like, with my friends growing up, kind of in middle school, we would, like, make movies together, stuff like that. We would, like, dumb little things. But they were feature length. So,
really?
Yeah. To varying degrees of success. But my favorite one was called Bicycle Cops. We made it. It's 50 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's about cops on bicycles.
Have you gone back to watch this?
I have. In fact, I'm planning with everybody when I get back to LA to like have a screening and make a drinking game out of it.
Okay.
And all this stuff. Yeah. It's just full of. What's weird about it, though, is like when you watch it, you know, when you're like a teenager and then like a week makes so much of a difference in terms of like how old you look.
Oh yeah.
So it's like we shot it in sequence because we didn't know what we were doing. So we just get so much older through the course of this movie, and not only that, our filmmaking skills get better. Like at the top of it, it's like all wide shots where we're all talking over each other, and it's just nonsense. It's terrible. And by the end of it, it's not good per se, but like there's coverage. And we're trying a little more.
Yeah. Did your parents ever give you pointers on like how to do things?
Yeah, or more so that like I could tell if they weren't feeling it. You know what I mean? Like I would like watch this movie I made, and they were like, yeah. You know, this subtle thing.
But I just figured because everybody has that, like especially when you're a teenager, like you always have that thing, like where you're. For me, it was my dad who was just like, yeah, that doesn't sound like House of the Rising Sun at all. You know what I'm like?
Yeah, and you're learning, like, okay.
Learning guitar. I was like, I learned it from watching you.
I learned it from watching you.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, well, our guy was like, it was like, by the way, both of my parents are in Bicycle Cops, by the way.
Are they really?
like in one scene, he's my dad doesn't even play my dad in it, but he's in one scene that we just did one take of because we don't know. It was like a wide shot. And then my mom is in a scene only because we were shooting in the kitchen of her house and she just didn't want to leave the kitchen. So she's just in the background. She's just like, I don't want to, I got to make a sandwich. Like you can't just hog the kitchen. Okay, fine.
That's great.
Yeah, it was great. But our guy was always, my friend Marty, one of my oldest friends ever, his dad was one of the head writers of Everybody Loves Raymond. Mm-hmm. And so everything we were doing was like supposed to be comedic or trying to be comedic.
Right.
So we would like kind of pitch jokes to him, and his name's Lou. So like it was like the Lou scale. Like if Lou like laughed a little bit, and he would like give us notes and stuff. And like I think it's kind of made us all better. Like Marty's like a writer now, so it's like
that's
made
amazing.
Us all, yeah, it made us all better, like little joke writers.
Yeah.
Little jokes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So is that how, that's kind of how Sasquatch got.
Yeah.
Spun into then, huh?
Definitely.
Are
no,
these
like,
the same friends from childhood that were doing that kind
They
of
are. Well, I did comedy with those friends for a long time. I still do. They're like, those friends are in Sasquatch movies.
Okay.
Movies. Yeah. Jesus. Sasquatch sketches every now and then. But I met this guy through those guys. His name's Nick Williams. He's in this hotel right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a funny dude. And then I went to NYU, where I got into this sketch group called Hammercats, and we did like a monthly sketch show. And then through that, I met these other two guys. So that when I came back to LA, I just I missed sketch comedy, so I just called the three funniest people I knew, and it was Nick, Danny Jollis, and Zach Weber, and then we just started making stuff. It was great. It was just to get to make stuff all the time. It
yeah,
was
that's
awesome.
Cool, man. Yeah, that's cool. I really dig that. And it seems like doing stuff online, YouTube videos and things like that. It's like a really good way for people to, first of all, get their name out there.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And kind of hone your craft a little bit.
Definitely.
Like, did you find that helped you kind of get in more into acting? And
definitely. I'd say, like, even more so, yeah, acting definitely. Like, I think it's just, like, doing it a lot puts you at ease. Like, for a while, that was kind of, like, my acting class.
Sure.
Was, like, were those
videos.
Well,
did videos. You go to, you stated that you went to NYU.
I went to NYU, So I had acting? I had, like, legitimate acting classes there.
Oh, okay.
But, like,
okay.
I think it's, like, a thing of just, like, practicing it. So sure. Even though it's sketch comedy, like, you know, you still got to, like, do a good job acting. So that's kind of been a good practice. And it's been really helpful for all of us as writers, too, because for a while we were putting out a video a week. For like a year we did that. So that like really forced us to think on our feet, get quicker with it, and deepen sketches. We always want to have like sort of a message with them. Some of them are just silly bullshit things.
Yeah,
but it really did help us in a lot of ways.
Did it become pretty important to you to try to do those once a week too?
Yeah, no, it was cool because it's like we promised people like, yeah, it's going to be every week. So there was this pressure of like, we have to do it. I was telling you before, now on our banner, we should change this on YouTube. It says sketch comedy every other week, no exceptions.
And
it's been a year. No, we are still releasing stuff, and we're working on more so like series, stuff like that. We optioned a movie. We're trying to like do bigger and better things.
Yeah. Well, I totally get that though, because it becomes. Like, I don't know, it starts out as a hobby. This show started out as a hobby for me and then became a real thing.
Yeah.
And it's like,
what was the, because I'm just kind of fascinated. Like, you probably already said this on the show, but like, what was your moment where you're like, oh, I really like doing this? Like,
we had had some friends, and I think I just told this story.
Bullet points. You can give me bullet points.
No. Okay. So,
if it's too much.
We had had, I'll give you the quick synopsis. We had had, another podcaster had reached out. I had started doing it. I wanted to do it just about friends and stuff. And cool. Like, I had a bunch of friends that were in music and doing cool stuff. And some people had started listening to the show. And then we got reached out to by another podcaster who came on. And then their friend listened to it and said, I will listen to your show forever if you get Sean Nelson from Harvey Danger on your show.
Oh.
And I said, I will take that challenge because
accepted.
I need at least one more person.
Oh wow!
So I did that, and he agreed to come on, and it was somewhat of a disaster. But after that, we got Lynn Shelton on, who is a director.
That's cool.
You know, she directed Mad Men and Hump Day and a bunch of these Leggies and stuff like that. And she came on. It was a great time. And then it just kind of snowballed from
there.
That's
awesome.
And then turned into almost exclusively like a
musician thing
based podcast. Yeah. And then from there it was like getting comedians on, and then all of a sudden we're getting contacted by HBO to do stuff like this.
Oh, fantastic. Am I the first HBO person?
No.
Oh, mm-mm. Damn it.
Sorry.
I wanted to be the Neil Armstrong of this. No, it's fine. I mean, that's awesome, man. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and it was started as a hobby, and then it became like a thing like where, oh, I can't miss a weekend.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what it was with us, too. It was like one of these things of like, because it's weird. Like, Nick hadn't even met Danny or Zach before the first time we shot.
Sure.
So we were just like, well, we'll just get together. We'll like just shoot some sketches like the old days. It'll be great. And then it just like, you know, we had our second video went like crazy viral.
Right.
It was called The Party Cooler.
Yeah,
just,
that was a great one.
So
that
good.
Was so funny.
Just Danny being
the
person.
It's such a great concept.
It's such a great concept. Yeah, Danny wrote that one too. It's him being this guy who you can call professionally to ruin your party so people will leave once you're tired of it.
That's
and
good.
He just goes in rooms and is awkward.
Right.
It's such a good sketch.
And I was that, like, when I was watching that, I was like, oh, that's me.
Yeah. We've all felt like that guy. We've all been that guy at a certain point in our lives. Yeah, right. No. And then it got to like the front page of Reddit for a hot second.
Really?
Yeah, it was weird. So I think that gave us like not a big subscribership right away, but like a you know, sizable enough to the point where we were like, all right, let's just keep chugging away. Let's just do this.
Sure.
And then
did you ever make, you know, a little bit of money off of it, or was it always
made like $100? Like,
yeah.
So, which is way less than we've spent. But exactly. We don't really spend that much, honestly. But because I think you can tell when you watch them. but yeah, no, that.
Yeah, because your mom is in the background. She's just in the kitchen.
My mom will never leave the kitchen, so we can never shoot in the kitchen,
right?
Unless it's featuring Meg Ryan.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah.
You got to add that part in there. Hey, yeah. hella hits, bro.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh, you got
that Joe versus Volcano money.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That sweet Joe versus Volcano money.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah. Oh my God.
Do you ever watch movies with your parents in it? And just
like,
holy shit, this is fantastic.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite things my dad's ever done is Special Relationship. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
No.
It was like he played Bill Clinton in it. And I was like, it was one of those
that's not ringing a bell.
It was on HBO. It was like an HBO movie.
Okay.
And it was a thing about Tony Blair and Bill Clinton. And I love my parents' work. I admire them so much. But like that was one where I was like, oh, whoa. Like because he wasn't doing like a straight up and down like impression like SNL, but he was still like the guy. And both of them, I'm huge fans of both of them, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am as well.
Thank you. Well,
weird.
Thank you. Why am I thanking you?
Weird.
Yes, you are. I don't know how to respond. But yeah, no, it's, yeah.
Yeah. What was it like? I want to go back a little bit. Like when you first saw your face in Hunger Games, you're watching it at the premiere.
Sure.
You see your face up there.
I'm like, wah!
What's going through your mind at that point? Like, are you the type of person that, like, you get hot, your face gets red, you're like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I sunk a little.
Did you?
Well, I think I have this weird process of, like, seeing myself in stuff I've done. I think the first takes me about 3 viewings for me to think it was relatively okay.
Yeah.
First stage is, like, I need to just get used to, like, aesthetically seeing my face on a big screen. Like, oh, that's how my face moves. I forgot. Like, that kind of thing.
Right. Second, I should stop doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Second time I'm paying attention to how I'm saying words and stuff like that. I'm like, why did you say the word and like that or something like that?
Yeah.
And then the third time I'm like, okay, I guess whatever. It's fine. I'm in it.
Yeah.
I love this project. I'm fine. Whatever. Yeah. Those are 3 stages.
I get it, man.
Yeah.
I get it.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the things is also, like, forgetting what was happening on the day. Like, you watch the scene that you did, and you're like, oh, that was right after lunch. And then after this, we all, you know what I mean? And, like, forgetting that and just seeing it as a scene in a story.
Right. I think that's really hard for people like me to understand because, like, we're watching movies. We're watching these series with the actors in it. And it becomes so fully engrossing, especially now, especially with Game of Thrones or
definitely,
something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you are in it, right?
Yeah, you're invested.
And you're like, give me more.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but like that's the thing.
But you never
like,
think about that. It's like, okay, they finished that scene and then like they just went over to the craft service table.
Yeah. Right after this, I ate one
shitload of cheese.
Yeah. Like, so much cheese. I would love if, like, I don't know, there's, like, a thing in the DVD or something where, like, you watch an episode of Vinyl and they have those little pop-up facts. It's like, fun fact, after this scene, Jack Quaid gorged himself on cheese.
Right. And then had explosive diarrhea.
Explosive diarrhea.
I'm going to take that joke out of there. That was bad.
No, I loved it.
It was bad.
Chelsea
might make me take that out.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's the whole thing. But I think it's, like, for me, getting away from that is interesting. My dad used to do this thing that annoyed the crap out of me, where he would we'd watch a movie, any movie, and he would go like, he'd wait for a little bit and then be like, Act Two. He would like say out loud that it's Act Two, that it just made the act jump, and it ruined it. It always ruined it. I'm like, oh,
takes you right out of
exactly.
It, right?
Yeah. However,
because the formula.
Yeah, but that's how I knew if a movie was good or not, because if the good movies that he was invested in, he wouldn't do that. And I realized I don't do that because I write too, and I realized I don't, if I'm not paying attention to like any of that, it's like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your your spot? Where do you want to be? Like, do you want to be a
in
comedic
life or
actor?
Geographically? Oh, well, comedic actor, definitely. I think I just I know you. This is an answer a lot of actors give, but like I want to do it all. Like really like I like challenging myself a lot. I think I just like acting. If the role is interesting in any way, you know, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. But I do genuinely love comedy. So like, I think that's a, you know, it's a thing I really love. So mm-hmm. there's that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
I like that answer.
Yeah,
it's good. It seemed like you got a good head on your shoulder.
I hope so.
You know what you want.
Know what I want? Going for it. Yeah. Go getter.
Totally. Well, Jack, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me, man.
Thank
really
you. Thanks for having me,
it.
Man.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, it's been great.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, so cool. All
right. All right, there you have it, folks. Jack Quaid of the new series, the new HBO series that premiered last night, Vinyl. It's pretty damn good, folks, if I do say so myself. I do like it. And looking forward to seeing the second episode. Man, the pilot's like 2 hours long, too. Holy smokes. Good stuff. A lot of nudity as well. There's this one scene, and you'll know what I'm talking about if you've seen it. A lot of nudity in there. Okay. Jack Quaid, Vinyl, premiered last night, February 14th on HBO. Once again, big thanks to Chelsea Orman and Suzanne Twing of HBO, Morgan Schuler of Morgan Schuler Photography, and Steve Wilson of iTunes for helping us out a whole lot on this episode, okay? You've also been listening to Grace Love and the True Loves throughout the episode. You can go to gracelovesandthetrueloves.com to find out more and get your hands on some of that music, man, because it is awesome. And if you have the opportunity to see these guys live, oh my God, so good, so good. They will blow you away. And Grace Love's voice, holy shit, that woman can just, I mean, it just flows out of her. Like, it's otherworldly, otherworldly, folks. You got to check it out, gracelovesandthetrueloves.com, okay? All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes. And if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. It only takes a couple seconds to leave us a little star rating and helps us out a lot in the long run. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Cairo Radio, and Spreaker apps for your streaming capabilities on the mobile devices. Or just visit us at air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed and download each episode every week. All right. And you can access our archives right there as well at air-raid.net. You can keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/the Air Raid Podcast. Our Twitter handle is @AirRaidNet. You can tweet at me directly right there. Or you can email me if you want, me to hear something or whatever. Constructive criticism, whatever. Email me, aaron@air-raid.net. We love getting your emails. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Pledge to tell somebody about this show. Tell your friends, your mother, your sister, your brother, your dad. We'll even take your cousins, all right? Yeah, we'll take even second cousins, man. Just tell, bring it up in conversation. Tell somebody about the show. That's how more people hear about this here, podcast. Okay, let's see. We're going to go out this week. Another Grace Love and the True Love song. This one's called Fire, one of my personal favorites. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening this week. It has been an absolute pleasure. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of the podcast for you with some great indie music, all right? Yeah, coming straight at you next week on the Air Raid Podcast. Okay, this one's Fire by Grace Love and the True Loves, and we'll be back next week, like I just said, an all-new episode. Supposed to say that right here, but I said it right before, and now it's not working. Just remember, folks, yellow and green do not make red. It's blue and yellow, okay? I'm going to take that one to my grave. All right. Fire by Grace Love and the True Loves. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening.